Welcome to you this morning. It's wonderful to see this great crowd that we have today here in the house of the Lord. I only wish you had a speaker for this Sunday morning, but looks like you're stuck with me instead. Our subject this month, my assignment, was to talk on the word atonement. The definition of atonement is a reparation for a wrong or an injury. It also goes on to say an annual ceremony of confession and atonement for sin. In Christian theology, it means the reconciliation of God and humankind through Jesus Christ. For our text this morning, I'm going to read Leviticus, the 16th chapter. It says, "Now the Lord spake to Moses after the death of the two sons of Aaron, when they offered profane fire before the Lord and died. And the Lord said to Moses, tell your brother not to come at just any time into the holy place, inside the veil before the mercy seat which is on the ark, lest he die. For I will appear in the cloud above the mercy seat. Thus Aaron shall come into the holy place with the blood of a young bull as a sin offering and of a ram as a burnt offering. And he shall put the holy linen tunic and the linen trousers on his body, and he shall be girded with a linen sash, and with the linen turban shall he be attired. These are holy garments. Therefore he shall wash his body in water and put them on. And he shall take from the congregation of the children of Israel two kids of the goats as a sin offering and one ram as a burnt offering. Aaron shall offer the bull as a sin offering, which is for himself, and make atonement for himself for his house. He shall take the two goats and present them before the Lord at the door of the tabernacle of meeting. Then Aaron shall cast lots for the two goats, one lot for the Lord and the other lot for the scapegoat. And Aaron shall bring the goat on which the Lord's lot fell and offer it as a sin offering. But the goat on which the lot fell to be the scapegoat shall be presented alive before the Lord to make atonement upon it, and let it go as the scapegoat into the wilderness. And Aaron shall bring the bull of the sin offering, which is for himself, and make atonement for himself and for his house, and shall kill the bull as the sin offering, which is for himself. Then shall he take a censer full of burning coals from the fire, from the altar before the Lord, and his hands full of sweet incense beaten fine, and bring it inside the veil. And he shall put the incense on the fire before the Lord, that the cloud of incense may cover the mercy seat that is on the testimony, lest he die. He shall take some of the blood of the bull and sprinkle it with his finger on the mercy seat on the east side, and before the mercy seat shall he sprinkle some of the blood with his finger seven times. Then he shall kill the goat of the sin offering, which is for the people, bring its blood inside the veil, do with that blood as he did with the blood of the bull, and sprinkle it on the mercy seat and before the mercy seat. So he shall make atonement for the holy place, because the uncleanness of the children of Israel, and because of their transgressions for their sins. So shall he do for the tabernacle of the meeting, which remains among them in the midst of their uncleanness. There shall be no man in the tabernacle of meeting when he goes in to make atonement in the holy place until he comes out. And he shall make atonement for himself, for his household, and for the assembly of Israel. And he shall go out to the altar that is before the Lord and make atonement for it, and shall take some of the blood of the bull and some of the blood of the goat, and put it on the horns of the altar all around. Then shall he sprinkle some of the blood on it with his finger seven times, cleanse it, and consecrate it from the uncleanness of the children of Israel. And when he has made an end of atoning for the holy place, the tabernacle of meeting, and the altar, he shall bring the live goat. Aaron shall lay his hands on the head of the live goat, confess over it all the iniquities of the children of Israel, and all their transgressions concerning all their sins, putting them on the head of the goat, and he shall send it away into the wilderness by the hand of a suitable man. The goat shall bear on itself all the iniquities to an uninhabited land, and he shall release the goat in the wilderness. Then Aaron shall come into the tabernacle of meeting, take off the linen garments which he put on when he was in the holy place, and leave them there. And he shall wash his body with water in a holy place, put on his garments, and come out and offer the burnt offering and the burnt offerings of the people, and make atonement for himself for the people. The fat of the sin offering shall he burn on the altar. And he who released the goat as the scapegoat shall wash his clothes and bathe his body in water, and afterward he may come into the camp. The bull for the sin offering and the goat for the sin offering, whose blood was brought in to make atonement in the holy place, shall be carried outside the camp, and they shall burn in the fire their skins, their flesh, and their offal. Then he who burns them shall wash his clothes and bathe in water, and afterwards he may come into the camp. This shall be a statute forever for you. In the seventh month, on the tenth day of the month, you shall afflict your souls and do no work at all, whether a native of your own country or a stranger who dwells among you. For on that day the priest shall make atonement for you and cleanse you, that you may be cleansed from all your sins before the Lord. This is a Sabbath of solemn rest for you, and you shall afflict your souls. It is a statute forever. And the priest who is anointed and consecrated to minister as priest in his father's place shall make atonement and put on the linen clothes, the holy garments. Then shall he make atonement for the holy sanctuary. He shall make atonement for the tabernacle of the meeting and for the altar. And he shall make atonement for the priest and for all the people of the assembly. This shall be an everlasting statute for you to make atonement for the children of Israel for all their sins once a year. And he did as the Lord commanded Moses. That's quite a ceremony that's depicted there. Some may ask, why don't we do that today? We're going to study that for a little while this morning. Why we do what we do, and why the children of Israel did what they did in the days of Moses. At this time, though, we wish together our Heavenly Father in a word of prayer. You know, I've always loved to see the springtime come each year, and all that brings, the flowers that bloom. My mowing business picks up some and things like that. All is good, all except for one notable exception. And that's spring cleaning. And I hate cleaning, I don't care what time of year it is. But you know, the Day of Atonement for the Jewish people was something like a spring cleaning. Now it occurred in the fall of the year, generally sometime in September, I think, generally. Israel's annual Day of Atonement occurred. But you know, Israel didn't look forward to this like they did many of the other feasts that they had. Unlike other Jewish holidays, the Day of Atonement was not a joyous occasion. It was a day of national mourning and repentance. As we read there in Leviticus, the 16th chapter, we have to also remember the story in Leviticus 10. To approach God, one must approach him in the right way, or there's going to be disaster. These two men had chosen to do things in their own way. And this was all the more serious in the fact that they had just gone through the ceremony in being made priests. This was a time for sticking closely to what God had commanded, and yet they did not. These men had a high position. And those in the priestly ministry must, above all people, be obedient to the commands of God. And I think the same applies today to those of us who teach in the local congregations. Does this mean that no one can approach the Lord? No. But the approach must be made in the right way. Therefore, there's this warning there in Leviticus 10 and 2 that not even the high priest could enter the Lord's presence in any way that he wanted to, and at any time that he wanted to. Only this one time of the year. One specific day, one specific man, and one specific way was the only acceptable approach. The approach was also done in connection with the putting away of the nation's sins. This added to the importance of the occasion. This was a day of fasting, not a day of feasting. It should be noted that there were several feast days for the Jews, but only one major, great fasting day, and that was the Day of Atonement. This one occasion, the nation remembered their sins. Now, they had regular sacrificial rites and the system which animals were offered on the altar every day. However, these were not adequate. There was more. There was always more to atone for. I didn't take the time to figure out what it would cost to be a Jew during this time period, but I can't imagine. I mean, I've owned goats and cattle, so forth, and if I had to sacrifice one of them every day, I'd go broke in a hurry. Because, I mean, even a baby goat today is going to bring somewhere around $100. And a calf, $400 or $500. If it's any size at all. I mean, you might buy some week-old dairy calf for $50 to $100. But still, you do that every day, it mounts up quite a bill. On the 10th day of the 7th month, there's a Jewish feast called Yom Kippur today. And this was the solemn time of fasting and repentance. The ceremonies of the Day of Atonement. First, he had to be alone. No other priest could help him. No Levite could be in the tabernacle while this was going on. The high priest had to get the animals for the sacrifice himself. He had to get animals for himself and for his household. He took a young bull for a sin offering and a ram for a burnt offering. For the whole nation, he took two goats for a sin offering and a ram for a burnt offering. He had to do all this himself. First of all, he laid aside his own garments, and he washed. For the priest, this meant getting rid of any ceremonial defilement. There would be several washings throughout the day. He offered a sin offering. We find that in verses 6 through 11. He entered the Holy of Holies in verse 12 through 13. As the high priest, he actually entered the Holy of Holies three times. First with incense, which pictures the glory of God. Then with blood from the sacrifice for himself and his household. And finally with the blood shed for the people. All of this was preparation for the main task of the Day of Atonement, the giving of the sin offering of the nation. Then we have the presentation of the goats, verses 15 through 34. Note that the two goats are considered one sin offering. They illustrate two aspects of atonement. After the high priest returned from sprinkling the blood of his sin offering, he took the goat that had been designated to die and killed it as a sin offering for the entire nation. Then he entered the Holy of Holies for the third time, and this time with the blood of the goat. And he sprinkled the blood on the mercy seat before it, and thus covered the sins of the nation. Having applied the blood, the high priest then took the live goat, laid his hands upon its head, and confessed the sins of the people, and thus symbolically transferred the guilt of the nation onto this innocent animal. The word scapegoat comes from the Hebrew word which means to remove. This goat was then sent away into the wilderness, never to be seen again, and thus illustrated the removal of the nation's sins. When I was looking at the definitions of atonement, one definition said to remove from sight, to hide away. And thus happened with the nation's sins. Some might ask, what happened to the scapegoat? During the Old Testament times, we really don't know. It was sent off into the wilderness to never be seen again, probably to be eaten by wild animals. But we don't know that for sure. During more modern times, you'd think that while they were traveling in the wilderness, this would be an easy thing to do, just send it off into the wilderness. After the temple was built in Jerusalem, that becomes more of a problem, because now you're living in a more urban area where that the wilderness is farther away, and if you just turn a goat loose out there, who's to say that somebody is not going to come back, or that somebody else would pick it up incorporated into their herd. So they did something a little different. From what I've read, during the Jerusalem time, the scapegoat was led out of the city to a steep cliff, and a man leading the goat tied a piece of scarlet cord around the horns of the goat and tied it to a rock, and then got behind it and pushed it over the cliff, so that the goat tumbled, fell down the cliff, and was broken up, of course, never to be seen again. This was a great central activity of the day. The nation's sins had been solemnly confessed and dealt with in accordance with God's command. Then there were cleanup and final observances. The high priest put back on his regular glorious robes and offered burnt offerings for himself and for the people, the rams that were mentioned in verse 3 and 5. It was at this point that the high priest burnt the fat of the sin offering. The carcasses of both the bull and the goat were taken outside the camp and burnt up in their entirety. This was observed as a special Sabbath. Now, on a normal Sabbath, they were able to eat food as long as it had been prepared the day before. But this was a fasting day, and they were not allowed to eat at all. Summary of the whole day. Now, this gives a brief outline of the day. Of course, there are many gaps in here that were later filled in by the Jews, but we don't really need to know every detail. Just the procedure that's outlined in the Bible. The one question that has to be asked is, did this actually remove sin? Jewish text called the Mishnah says this: if a man said, I will sin and repent, and sin again and repent, he will be given no chance to repent. If he said, I will sin, and the Day of Atonement will affect atonement, then the Day of Atonement affects no atonement. The Day of Atonement was regarded as important, but only if there's the right attitude, and if the person has done what he can do to undo the effects of his sin. Some suggested that, in fact, it was the attitude that was all important, and that the rites were no more than a series of dramatic symbols. Well, I think we can go back to Leviticus 10 and 2 and discount that. God cared how you did it. And we better follow the example today. We better observe the things of God as they're presented in the Bible. But I also thought it was kind of important there to note that it's the attitude of the repentant sinner. And you know, back during history, there were times that the Catholic churches sold indulgences, where that you could go pay the priest, and it'd be all right if you went and did something that wasn't right to do at all. Well, Leviticus tells us that that's not the case. You can't just go and say, well, I'll go do what I want to do and then I'll repent for it later. That doesn't work. There was great care to do everything in the right way and in the right order on the Day of Atonement. After all, the life of the priest, the high priest, was on the line here. God had already showed only a very short time before that even Aaron's two sons were not exempt from the procedures that God had instructed them to do. When they brought strange fire before the Lord that wasn't of the type of fire they were supposed to bring, they lost their lives. What a bad omen it would have been from God if the high priest did not survive the Day of Atonement. Let's look at the Day of Atonement in the New Testament. If we turn real quick to Hebrews, the 9th chapter, Hebrews 9, beginning in verse 7, it says, but into the second part, start verse 6. Now when these things had been thus prepared, the priest always went into the first part of the tabernacle performing the services. But into the second part, the high priest went alone, once a year, not without blood, which he offered for himself, and for the people's sins committed in ignorance. Notice their sins there were committed in ignorance, not with intent. The high priest indicated this, that the way into the holiest of all was not yet made manifest while the first tabernacle is still standing. Note again, the way into the holiest of all was not yet made manifest while the first tabernacle was still standing. After Jesus Christ was crucified and the veil of the temple was rent, very shortly thereafter, the temple was destroyed. Because of that, we have access into the holiest of holies because of Jesus Christ's sacrifice upon the cross. It was was symbolic for the present time in which both gifts and sacrifices were offered, which cannot make him who performed the service perfect in the conscience, concerned only with foods and drinks, and various washings and fleshly ordinances imposed until the time of reformation. But Christ came as high priest of the good things to come, with the greater and more perfect tabernacle not made with hands, that is, not of this creation, not with the blood of bulls and calves, but with his own blood, he entered the most holy place once for all, having obtained eternal redemption. For if the blood of bulls and goats and the ashes of a heifer, sprinkling the unclean sacrifices for the purifying of flesh, how much more shall the blood of Christ, who through the eternal Spirit offered himself without spot to God, cleanse your conscience from the dead works to observe the living God? Here the emphasis is on the blood. We see here the theme of access to the presence of God again. The high priest to enter the Holy of Holies, and the one whose outcome could not be foreseen. Thus, every precaution was taken, and the most important was the presentation of the blood of sacrifice. Only with the blood could the people's representative be cleansed from his sin and be accepted as fit to approach the presence of God. The author of the book of Hebrews points out that Christ entered the heavenly holy place not by means of bulls and goats and calves, but he entered the holy place once and for all by his own blood, having obtained eternal redemption. The contrast between the blood of Christ and the blood of animals is important to us. For Hebrews 10 and 4 tells us that just as it was impossible for animal blood to take away sin, so was it impossible to secure access. But Christ's blood is different. It really opens up the way to the presence of God. Hebrews contrasts the limited nature of the access to God secured by the high priest with that secured by Christ in two ways. Concerns the high priest. He dealt only with the earthly tabernacle temple, but Christ, verses 11 and then verse 24, the access was the high priest concerned himself was the small holy of holies, which was a symbol of the presence of God. The access which Christ was concerned with was access to the very presence of God in heaven. This concerns the people. The high priest had access only one day and one way. The rest of the people only had access by substitute through their high priest. Christ secured the access to the very presence of God in heaven, an access not for himself only, but for all of his people as well. Another way to say this is at the moment of Christ's death, that barrier, that veil in the temple was torn down. The Day of Atonement ceremonies bring home to Christians the fact that because of what Christ has done, they find the way into the very presence of God before them. The author of Hebrews says it very clearly that the ceremonies on the Day of Atonement didn't take away the sins of the people. It only hid them. The very fact that they continued to be offered year after year shows that they could not be perfect. They could not make perfect the worshipers who used them. If they could, they would have done their job and it would have been over with. What these sacrifices could not do, Jesus accomplished. There can be no improvement on Jesus' sacrifices. Repeatedly, the author of Hebrews stresses the fact that Jesus offered himself once for all. The finality of this sacrifice is impressive over against the annual repetition of the high priest's work on the Day of Atonement. There is also a contrast between the high priest and Jesus. The former must offer a sacrifice for his own sin, but Jesus did not need to offer a sacrifice for himself because he was sinless. We have two thoughts about the Day of Atonement for New Testament Christians. First is access. Isaiah 59 and 2 says, "But your iniquities have separated you from God. Your sins have hidden his face from you so that he will not hear." Those people had no way of remedying that situation. But Christ opened for his people the way into the very presence of God. We need no earthly priest to minister for us. This is an important truth to the average Christian. The average person is just that, average. And this is one of life's great frustrations. When an injustice is done to us, we have no access to the great ones who might really put things right. This is just a part of our lives. But we have access where it really counts. Christ's fulfillment on the Day of Atonement ceremonies has opened up the way into the very presence of God to the most average person. Nothing on earth can be taken away from what this means in terms of prayer and companionship. One of the descriptions of Christian faith is the way. Jesus said, "I am the way, the truth, and the light." Let us then approach the throne of grace with confidence so that we may receive mercy and find grace and help in times of our need. Secondly, there's forgiveness. The imagery of the scapegoat, which fulfills Christ's perfect bearing of sin, means that sin is really forgiven. The blood of animal sacrifices could never cope with the problems of man, but the blood of Christ can and does. Our Day of Atonement was the day of the cross. Jesus suffered outside the city gate to make the people holy through his own blood, Hebrews 13 and 12. John 15 and 13 says, "Greater love hath no man than this, that he lay down his life for his friends." I ask you today, are you washed in the blood of the Lamb? Jesus, through his death, conquered sin. But this doesn't automatically save anyone. We, like the Israelites, have to come humbly. We have to deny ourselves. And we have to be obedient to the gospel commands and receive the plan of salvation that teaches us that to be forgiven of our sins, we have to have the atoning blood of Jesus Christ applied to our lives. We must repent, confess his name, and be baptized. The lesson is yours this morning. I hope that some good has come from this study on the atonement. At this time, it's our pleasure to offer unto you a song of invitation. If there are those present today who are in need of the saving power of Jesus Christ's blood, we offer you that opportunity at this time. If you've once availed yourself of that opportunity and been baptized for the forgiveness of your sins, and have sprayed away, we offer unto you the opportunity to come and confess those sins and receive the prayers of the congregation. Won't you come while we stand and sing?